Okay, so so we're on Torah Samach Vav, okay? Second shir on it. I'll just go over what we said yesterday. When look to Moran, Torah Samach Vav, okay? So Elisha was the main student of Eliyahu Hanavi, okay? And it says that he was there at the moment when he passed away. As we explained yesterday, Eliyahu Hanavi, he refined his body to the highest degree that anyone in the whole world ever refined his body to. So he went straight up to heaven. He didn't have to get buried, nothing, he just went straight up to heaven. Okay, and then at that moment, when he left his body, what happened was, it was a revelation of the Ruach HaDe'ela, the higher spirit. And that higher spirit basically caused that his lower spirit that was in his body to come and unite with the higher spirit, and he left, but he left with his body, okay? That was it's an exceptional case, but in general, when a teacher, what is it? Enoch also, he became Matat. It's a different story over there. But God wanted the same from his sin.
Yaakov's daughter,
Sarah.
She never died.
Yeah.
There's a few people.
Sarah.
She's still alive today?
I think so. Yaakov's daughter.
No, it wasn't Yaakov's daughter.
Asher's daughter. And she hit Chushim, right? She killed Chushim. Sachet Sota, I think this is the thing. Anyways, okay, so the higher Ruach gets revealed when the Tzaddik is passing away, and then all the students are able to connect to the higher Ruach, and whoever's closest student to the teacher that's passing, then he's able to get Ruach Pishnaim, double Ruach. Okay, we explain what these two Ruchot is, basically the higher Ruach and the lower Ruach, which is the we say it's koch and poel, potential and actualization. Okay, we explained about lefties. Always lefty, raise your left hand. Got a couple here? Okay. We explained with lefties, it says that in their past life, they used to steal because they couldn't actualize anything. So they come to this world and they have two powers of potential.
Is it they for sure did, or is it possible that they
can? I don't know. I mean, it's an indication of something, meaning someone who's lefty should think about it a little bit and see what he needs to attack in his life now.
Right, he still didn't get to the next left life.
There we go.
But wasn't there a thing at a certain time period, it was, they forced lefties to be right?
Yeah, my grandfather, they forced him to write with his right hand.
Yeah,
my grandfather's handwriting was so bad because they forced him to write with his right hand.
By the way, how would you know that?
His power was in his left hand when he forced him with his right hand, so he got used to it, but it was not the same.
That was the same level. He used Bukharian,
yeah.
And they used to tie his biggest hand behind his back and beat him with a stick. I'm just kidding.
This is all recording.
Yeah, this is recording. Okay, let's continue. Okay, so when the tzaddik passes, the two ruchos, the ruch del ela is revealed, and the students are able to keep the ruch del ela while they're in their bodies and have the ruch del tata, so they have double amount of power. Now, what do you use these powers for? We said they directly affect the amount of kavanah you have when you do tefillah. And it says all of the miracles and all the great things that Elisha did, he did through his tefillah. As is known in the Zohar, Parshat B'Shalach, the whole story with Elisha reviving the kid who... You know, everyone know that story? Yeah. Shunamit, okay? She had a son, and then... Yeah, so in the Zohar it says that the kid, the reason why the kid died, because it was a feminine soul in a male body, so the life force wasn't from the right place, but Elisha was able to fix it through his tefillah.
Isn't that what happened to Yitzhak? Isn't that something about Yitzhak?
What about it?
He had a feminine soul.
Then the mother comes. My son, he looks the same, but he's acting a little funny.
There you go, yeah.
What'd okay. you do? I just put a different soul in him.
He did sound, I don't know exactly, I don't know what he did, but okay, so the Ruach del Eil and Tata, the Koch and Paul, we said yesterday that they represent the Aleph, because the Aleph has the Yud on top, which is the Ruach del Eil, the Vav is the Patach, okay, Patach means Potech, means the open, so and then you have the lower Yud, which is the Poel. So we said basically, we said Potech et Yedecha. Like when you open your hands, okay, so it's the right and left, potential, actual. There's a point where the potential, actual are one, is when it's still in creation process. When a person thinks to build a house and he has all the details worked out in his mind, so the potential and the actual are united at that point. Once he starts building the house, then the potential separates from the actual and starts actualizing it in the physical. Okay, and that's what it means, potech et yedecha, and that's why It represents the Aleph, as we explained yesterday. Okay, now...
The
author
also says in that...
Yud-decha, yeah.
Open the Yud.
Yeah, it's also...
Open the potential of the Yud and allow it to actualize.
Correct, yeah. Shebitchila hem nikshirim yachad. At the beginning, they're united together, and afterwards, they open up and separate. Okay, we're in the middle of paragraph Bet. It says, Ki b'chinat shnei haruchot hanal. Na'asin al yedei amtakat charon af. Okay, these two spirits are created, they're made through the sweetening of the anger. Okay, the anger of the nose. Okay, what does that mean? Ki yesh b'chinat charon af etzel Hashem itbarach kaviyocho. Hashem has a concept where he's angry. You see him, psukim, he got angry, okay? Ve'etzel b'nei adam, and you also have it, people obviously have this, that this concept also. V'kesheyesh charon af, chas v'shalom, when there is a charon af, an anger, hu b'chinat ashan sh'yotze mi nechirav, it's a concept of smoke coming out of his nostrils. Okay, it's anger, everyone sees the cartoons growing up. It's always smoke coming out of nostrils, okay? When you get angry. As it says, ala ashan ba'apo, there was smoke that went into the nose. V'zeo ashan mazik l'parnasa, this smoke is damaging for a person's parnasa. She'al yada motzin mikoch el hapol. And through that we're able to bring from potential to actual. Ki al yedei sheyesh lo parnaso ve'eno nitzach lebriot zoche le'emet. That when a person has parnaso and he doesn't need people, then he's able to come to emes. This is all going to be explained shortly. B'chinat al madati, and emes represents the world to come. As it says, Ashrei shekel Yaakov be'ezra, praiseworthy who has the God of Yaakov in his help. Sivra al Hashem lakav. Kesh al yedei ze motzi mikoch al apol. Through this, we're able to bring from koch to pol. That was in brackets. Now we're going to explain that whole thing. Ki ashan mazik le'inayim. Okay, smoke could damage your eyes. As it says in the pasuk, ki ashan le'inayim, like smoke to your eyes. Shem b'chinat parnasa, which represents parnasa, because it says, "Eini kol elecha yisabero." The eyes will all look up to you, to Hashem. Ki kas mazik la parnasa, kas anger damages your parnasa, as it says, "Kol shemuva b'makom acher, shekas mafsid ha'ashirut." Okay, it's in Torah Nun Tet. It's also in Torah Samech Chet and Samech Tet. Discusses this too, that the anger makes like a wall. And then it makes a blockage for the shefa to flow down. Okay, v'tzarich l'shaber l'amtik charnaf. So a person has to break and sweeten the anger. Dainu l'amtik ashan ulevaro. You have to sweeten the smoke and to do the beer on it to refine it. Ad shi'en aseh menu b'chinat ruach, until it becomes ruach, becomes a wind. Okay, to take the bad out of the ashan, it becomes a wind. Okay. And what is that? The Ainu Ruach Avire, the wind of Avir, of like air. Shinaseh mihit barut ha'ashan, which comes from refining of the smoke. V'zeh ha'ruach, this spirit, which is the wind, shuam takat ha'ashan shel charnaf, which is the sweetening of the smoke that came from the anger, which is the smoke in the nostrils, okay? Hu b'chinat Mashiach. So this is the level of Mashiach. When you're able to do a bira on the smoke in order to turn into a ruach, it's Mashiach. How do we know? Because it says, Ruach apeinu Mashiach Hashem. The ruach of our nose is Mashiach Hashem. Apeinu, af. Okay? We learn from there, he's going to judge things with his nose. All these different things. Kol zman shelo ba b'chinat zeh ha-ruach al-b'chinat yadayim. When this, as long as this ruach don't come to the hands, adayinu kodem ha-havaya. It's all before it exists. Gikar havaya b'chinat yadayim. The main concept of existence is in your hands. Shem kli asiyah, because those are the vessels for action. Okay, you need, in order, like existence means they're able to do actions and, you know, live within the physical world. Is it about doing actions that brings a person to his existence? And so the hands represents the actions. Shesam u'ikar hit galut b'chinat ruach, and that's the main place of the revelation of the spirit. As it says, Be'adecha afkid ruchi, in your hands I placed my spirit. Okay, so a person has a power in his hands with the ruach. It's going to get clearer as we go. It's a lot of these things in Likutei Moharan in general, the Torahs are written in a way of makif, which means It transcends you. These things, you just feel like, sometimes you're learning a Torah, you're like, I finally get what's going on. And he like spins it around, and at the end you're like, I don't know what just happened. Hmm. It's like, you don't experience that in other Sfarim. In other Sfarim just like tells you straight, do this, like you learn Mesiyas Hashayim. Tells you gotta work on Zrizus, then you gotta work on Nikius, and it tells you exactly what to do. And then in like Sifrei and Kabbalah Chassidus, it's like a Or Pnimi, so you're able to unite with it with your mind fully. But this, it's like Makif. Okay, so it was done for multiple reasons, and brought down in his Sfarim. One of them is that if you brought it down in Derech Pnimi, then it will be Ribu Or, which means too much light, and it will cause destruction. So you have to protect it with Makifin. That's one of the reasons. Another reason is that when a person feels that what he's learning is beyond him in a certain level, then it puts him in a state of search. So then he's searching, and his soul, when his soul's in a state of search, it's always renewing itself. And then when you're doing that, basically, the only way to understand something when you're in a state of search is by tefillah and amunah. And then basically by doing that over and over again, your tefillah and amunah are able to unite with the das on a higher level, like being put in such a state. So a lot of these things, you put yourself like, what is he saying? And he says you have to pray on these Torahs to understand them. So when you pray, you're able to like unite the amunah and your das, which is the secret of, in the seven beggars, the story, is when the two kids get lost in the forest. Okay, the two kids are the boy and the girl. They represent Amunah and Das, and then later on in the story they get married, and the marriage is in the chuppah. Okay, and then in the whole, I don't know if everyone knows the story, but the beggar comes to the chuppah. Okay, they're like praying. The beggar comes, and he finally comes to the chuppah, and then they unite. So that's the uniting of the Das and the Amunah happens under the chuppah, which is like the sukkah, and then basically by doing that you can become like the tzaddik. So it's like you set up like a system that's going to bring you to like your ultimate higher level of your expression of your soul. And the way it's done is by basically putting, there's a story in the Gemara where someone was praying, and then someone asked him, like, why are you focusing on Chai Shah, not Chai Olam? Why are you praying and not learning? You know, learning Torah is eternal, has an eternal effect on all the worlds. And praying, it's for right now, you need to have Parnassah. He said, yeah, that's true if I was praying for Gashmias, but I'm praying for Ruchnias. So praying for Ruchnis is higher than praying for Gashmis, and it's even higher than the learning itself. So that's these Torahs put you in that mode. You have to like pray for the Ruchnis. You have to pray to fulfill these Eitzes that are brought down in the Torah. You have to pray to understand these things. And then your Tefillah becomes above your Das, and it unites in a new way. Okay, that's basically some of the rundown of what's going on. So while we're learning it, you might not get everything, but it takes time for these things to like come inside of you so you can get them. Okay, so now he says, so now we're seeing that the main ruach is in a person's hands, and the ruach is a bearer of the ashan, and it says asher bayon nefesh kol chai, v'ruach kol basar ish, v'achar kach keshenitgaleh ruach b'chinat hayadayim. So when the ruach gets revealed, which are the hands, adayin shnei aruchot hanal, these both spirits, okay, which is the koach and the pol, b'chinat shnei yadayim, and minus mo, the left hand, the right hand, the left hand. Hem shneim beyachar adayin. They're still united. They're like this. Okay, so that's spiritually when a person's potential and actualization are still in the same place. Like when you're thinking about the details of the house, you worked it all out in your mind, but the potential actualization of that moment is still one. So how do you open up the hands and then so the actualization comes down and separates from the potential? Okay, that's what we're talking about now.
דהיינו שעדיין לא נפתחו ונתפרדו הידיים ששם התקלו שני הרוחות.
That the hands did not separate from each other, which is the revelation of both these spirits.
כי עדיין הכוח והפועל נקשרים יחד, because the potential and the actual are united together. ואין הבדל ביניהם כלל, there's no difference between them at all. ואזי אין ניכר בין ימין ושמאל,
there's no, you don't know the difference between right and left. What's potential, what's actual, there's no, you can't tell the difference.
ואז עדיין מכינת קודם הבריאה,
and then you're all, and then at that state you're before creation, because you still didn't bring into actualization.
תהיינו קודם שמצאים מכוח אל הפועל, before he brought it from potential to actual. שאז הם נקשרים יחד,
because then they're tied together.
ואחר כך כשמוצאים מכוח אל הפועל,
so then when you bring it from potential to actual,
אז הוא גמר הבריאה, it's the completion of the creation. ואז נפתחים הידיים, and then the hands open up, and then you're able to tell what's right and what's left. as it says in the pasuk, Af yadi yista aretz, even my hands founded the earth, vimini tifcha shamayim, and my right, like in the right hand, opened the heavens. Ki az yesh hefesh veheker ben ha-koch va-pol. And then you know the difference between koch and pol. Shemuchinat shnei ha-yadayim, the two hands, shnei ruch, the two spirits. The kol zeh nase al yedei hamtakat charon af. And all this is done through the hamtaka, the sweetening of the anger, which is af yadi, okay? The anger of my hands. Af daika. Okay, it literally means also my hands, but the af also means the nose, which is the concept of anger. So therefore, when a person does the birur on the ashan, which is the anger, then he's able to zoche to the shtei ruchas, opening up and able to tell difference and actually bring something to koach, not just in pol.
What is the birur of the anger?
He didn't explain fully, but it goes more into the, now we're going to see how it goes.
Right.
Yeah.
So when you get angry, like it's like I know that blocks the shefa, but then once you sweeten the anger, then you're able, the shefa is able to come back down.
Yeah, but sweetening is like doing tshuva, not to do it again, not to get angry at the same situation that came up.
Right.
Because it does say that if a person's angry and then it comes into expression, if it comes into expression, then basically it heats up more and then it eventually cools off. But that's not like a.
When you're in the,
it's not a sweetening of it. It's not a sweetening of it. Just because it comes from a fire part of your soul, so it gets put out.
When you sweeten it?
No, you're not supposed to let it come to expression ultimately.
Oh, okay.
What about Pinchas? He
was it anger?
He was zealous.
Zealousy.
Most righteousness.
Zealousy was basically kanaus for Hashem. He's doing it for God because he knows that this is completely against God.
So maybe any anger is in that context. How do you know that Pinchas
wasn't angry, but he saw something that was completely against God, so he had to take action because he knew the halacha.
What's the difference?
Anger is responsible to perceived injustice.
Anger is basically thinking that something didn't come from God, and therefore it makes you feel a certain way that's spiritually really damaging for you.
Is it every time to use it though for
anger?
Because it gives you a certain strength when you see there's a potential injustice, like, you know, people are abusing kids, you know. And
no, I don't
think
it's
like, what the heck is that? You want to do something about it. You could say, it's up to Hashem, I won't be angry. You could just do it without being angry.
That's not called anger.
You could take
I don't think there's a place to use anger ever.
You could take care of problems.
There's no place to use anger. Also, if you come in with an angry approach, everyone's going to be like freaked out and opposed to what you're doing. It's not the right approach to do things. No one's going to listen. If you try to force people to do something, usually they're not going to listen to you. Unless they're scared of you, which they're going to do it by force. Not going to really want to do it. Then it's against what you really want also in the end of the day. But and there's no place for anger. There's one place for jealousy. It says jealousy is a bad quality, but if it's for Torah learning, then it's a really good thing. You see someone that's really learning, you want to be jealous of, being jealous of their knowledge can make you want to, make you learn more to get there. So that's a good thing. But other than that, I don't see anywhere that anger is, it says the anger, you have to do a lot of fast to get angry even one time. According to the Arizal, in the times of the Arizal, anger was the worst mita. You had to stay very far from it. So that means if someone spent 20 years learning Shas, Poiskim, all Sefer Kabbalah, and then he did a big Siyum party and everyone was so happy, and the next day his son came up to him and spilled milk on his leg and he got angry and he lost all the Torah that he just learned. Okay?
But you could show people that you're angry though. That's
yeah, showing it is to show people that it's serious, but you're not feeling it in your heart. That's what you're not supposed to do.
And is there limits on when you could show people you're angry?
Yeah, there's no when. I mean, depends on the situation.
The action of it being detached from the action, meaning that don't let inside of
you. Yeah, don't feel angry. Because feeling angry, it's saying it's not from God, and then you take it personally. But you could show, if you need to show gvura to your child or to a friend, you got
to
show tocha, yeah. Gotta show.
And it makes a lot more sense with that with the Pinchas, meaning that because the idea of when being angry, you're disconnected from the Creator. So the Pinchas, he was even more connecting to the Creator.
He became a Kohen. Yeah, he became a Kohen.
I'm doing the best I can.
It was a great thing. Pinchas did a great thing, you know. What?
Doesn't it say something that for a fine tzaddik who has a position where he needs to show a place of anger, even if he doesn't find it inside? You can do it like up to 2 times a year, but everybody else
is it that?
Not do it
at all. I heard, yeah. But this thing about like anger is like one of the last things a person is mitakan. Meaning it's easy for it to linger on to a person. Even though you could do everything else right, but that it's like very easy to stay for a long time. Like you see in the story of the lost princess, where he was looking for the lost princess, and then he went to the person who was in charge of all this, all the winds. So the mashal for that is like, it's like a very big Hasidic Rebbe who could control all the ruchos and do all this. And he got angry in the story. He got a little bit angry. He still held on to it. Okay, he could, so he didn't meet the princess because of that. Okay.
Doesn't it say that, I could be misquoted, maybe I don't know the exact words, but when God gets angry at the people, what words
Shem, does it, yeah, charon af. This means...
Flaming
nose.
Right.
It's, that's not kas?
Does the Shem have kas? I don't think Hashem has kas.
No, Shem has kas, but the whole reason why it's wrong for us to have kas, but it's okay for Hashem to have kas, because kas is an expression of gaiva. Gaiva means that there's me and not God.
Yeah,
God
exactly.
Has the gaiva.
Like we learned to...
Hashem Allah Geus Lovish.
Right.
Hashem has the gaiva. Gaiva belongs to God.
It is an angry God. The Pesukim say that. But remember we learned back in the day in Parsha Bereshit, the Mitzvah Rabbi, he says, why is it a problem for man to know good and bad, but Hashem is able to know good and bad? So it says, when man knows good and bad, the bad unites with him. But when Hashem knows good and bad, the bad doesn't unite with Hashem, he just knows the difference between the two. But man, he's united with the bad, so he has to stay very far from any of these bad traits.
Interesting.
Okay? Okay, so now, Ze b'chinat potech et yadecha, shayadaim niftachin, the hands open up, and you're able to know between right and left. And it says, "Veze et yadecha b'chinas shnei yudin hanal." These two yuds, as it says in the Zohar, "Al tikri yadecha ela yudecha." Don't read yad, read yud, like you Saul said. "Ki yadaim hem b'chinas shnei yudin." Your hands represent two yudin, which is koch and pol, as we said before, right? The koch and the pol, and then the vav that separates the two together, which is the aleph. "Shezeu b'chinas shnei yadaim yamin u'smol kanal." "Zeu potech et yadecha." Soft tevot chatach, as we everyone know, all the Sephardim know at least, that potech et yadecha, the soft tevot of chatach, means the cut. Okay, ayinu b'chinat shayadaim niftachin v'nichtachin, the hands open up and they're cut. Okay, v'nikar bein yamin lismol, you know the difference between right and left, and that's what it means. Af yadi yas yisda aret, even my hands founded the earth. And it says in the Pri'etz Chaim that chatach, to cut, is potech et yadecha, you're cutting the yuds so you can have koch and pol in a revealed way. Chatach is the same gematria of two times ruach. Okay, can't make this stuff up, okay? It completely fits together what we're saying. We say the ruach and the ruach. You say ruach and ruach two times, the same gematria as chatach. Okay, it's brought in the Pri'etz Chaim. Han b'chinat shnei ruchot hanal, these two ruchot, as we explained. Shem b'chinat shnei hayudin. There's the two yuds. Shnei yadayim kanal. Keshe niftachin v'nechtachin. Keshe motzi'in mikoch alapoel kanal. When you open them up and you're able to separate and bring from potential to actual. V'zeo potech et b'chinat patach. And that's why I say potech et yadecha, because potech is the patach, and the patach is the vav, and the aleph, because a vav is really a patach, if you look in the nekudot. The one that's just the line is called a patach, which is the vav and the aleph, which is the yud and the vav and the yud, which is the aleph. So that's why we say poteach et yudecha, it's the patach of the yuds. Okay? Get it. Okay, now, so how do you do that? Kol zina se'al yidei hamtakat charnaf. All this is done through the hamtaka, the sweetening of the charnaf, the fiery nose. B'chinas ruach apeinu mashiach Hashem. Okay, the fiery nose, the birur, and the hamtaka of that turns into ruach apeinu Mashiach Hashem, the spirit of our nose, of Mashiach. V'zeo potech et yadecha. So potech et yadecha is rosh tevas api, which is my nose. Hayinu b'chinat ruach apeinu. Ki al yedei b'chinat ruach apeinu, through ruach apeinu, niftachin v'nechtachin ayadayim. Through the ruach of the nose, you're able to open up the hands, which are the two ruchos, and actualize things. Okay, now, just a side note, halacha, in when you say ashrei and shachris, it says if you didn't have any kavana, when you say potech et yadecha, the halacha is, if you're still in that first, in ashrei, like towards the end, go back and say potech et yadecha again. It's like, it's a very important part of the tefillah, because you see how deep, what it does, it brings things to actualization. Okay, and it also has to do with parnasa, because chatach is to cut off like the satan, to stop in the flow of shechba coming down. All of the mitzvahs and all your veras are dependent upon these things. Opening of your hands. Everything is dependent on this. Potential to actual. Because this also has the three consonants we mentioned above, which is makom v'tziru uzman, means place, form, and time. Okay, how? As it says, histakel b'shlosha dvarim v'yata ba l'idei avera. Look at three things and you won't come to sin. So it says l'idei avera, to come to sin. Ki ikar avera chas shalom naseh b'chinat hayadayim hanal. The main sins come through your hands, because your hands are the things that do actions. And then the actions, if you're doing the wrong, they're going to be sins. So the main thing is doing this thing called potech et yedecha, bringing potential to actualization and sweetening the charan off to get to the nose of Mashiach. Okay, we're going to explain what that means shortly. B'tchila ha'vera b'koach. At the beginning, an avera could be just in potential. Shechoshev la'asota. A person thinks to do it. Chas v'shalom. V'achakach, keshemotzia mikoch ha'lapol ve'oseh ota. Afterward, the person brings it from potential to actual and does it. Chas v'shalom azayhu rasha gamor. In that moment, he's a rasha gamor. Nechashuv kamet. And he's considered like he's dead. Ki rasha'im b'chayehen kurim metim. Because the rasha'im, in their life, are considered dead. Okay, that's why in Shomer Asrei, we say two times, mechaye metim. One of them's going on rasha's that are still alive. Hashem still gives them life, even though, according to what they did, actually should not be living anymore. According to like the way things are set up, right? זה בחינת כמו חללים שוכני קבר. היינו, הרשעים שהם בחיין קרמיתים, the רשעים in their lifetime, when they're considered dead, that's what it means, מידיך נגזרו. Through your hand, it was decreed. נגזרו, decree.
Jews, or is it going to?
Mainly Jews for this.
Like,
If a goy, well,
Jeffrey Epstein and Harvey Weinstein?
Well, according to the Rambam, Zer Levatala also applies to a goy. It's Chayav Mita for it, according to the Rambam. It's another opinion that they're not, it's not an issue for them. So, according to the Rambam, all those goyim are Chayav Mita, okay? As Rashi says, Nigzaru is Chatach. Hainu Shavera Naaseh Alidei Bechinat Chichtuch Yadayim. The Vera comes through cutting the hands, which means he's actualizing his averas. As poteach et yadecha is chatach. Umen nifilat chituch vahitpatchuk yadayim elu shebekedusha. When a person is not able to open his hands up in kedusha, which means from potential to actualization inside of kedusha, naase avera b'chinat vehema miyadecha nigzaru lashon chatach. Al ken mo'il tshuva al avera. Therefore, tshuva could fix the avera. Ki ikar tshuva hu charata. The main concept of tshuva is charata, right? As explains in the Chassidus, that when a person does an avera, he's doing two things. The avera has the pleasure he had from the avera, and it also has the action he did. So those are like the letters within the actions or within the thought or speech that you used to do the avera. And the avera that you did, it like created like a spiritual entity that's made up of the action, and it's made up of the actual pleasure you had from it too. So the sages, they made it that when you say tachnun, okay, you say ashamnu, begamnu, gazalnu, you go through all the letters. Why are you going through all the letters? Because basically, the ability to make all the combinations of letters to destroy all the bodies of all the veras that you did. So just by saying that, you're destroying all the bodies of the veras. But nonetheless, the souls of the veras still remain, which are the pleasures you had from them. And the way to fix that is by charata. Charata means is the opposite of pleasure. It's like you feel pain over what you did, and that's going to uproot the pleasure that you did to create that thing. So that's why charata is actually the main part of tshuva. That's transforming the soul of the avera. And then if you do tshuva out of love, it says it turns your zdonis into schuyos. Turns the avera you did on purpose into now as if you did mitzvahs. It transforms it completely. If you do it properly, that's a high level of tshuva to reach, but that's what can happen. Kikar tshuva hu charata shemitcharet al avera. The main tshuva is charata, that you have regret and feel bad about the avera. As it says, petach charata shez bichinat patach bichinat potech et yadecha. Any questions before we continue?
Beautiful.
Okay, Gimel. We're on paragraph Gimel now for those who haven't seen it.
Yes.
Okay, now we're going to talk about actually like more practically how to do it, okay? How to, because everyone basically has things that they need to bring into potential, into actualization, sorry. And sometimes people feel like they could do all these things, but there's one thing it can't bring into actualization. Like, what's going on? How do you do it? So, obviously, it's done by kavana from above, lefi Hashem's cheshbon and goral that fell upon you and what you have to metaka in your soul. But this eitzah we're about to learn is a general eitzah for all concepts of bringing into potential. And now, each one obviously has very specific things about it that you need to know, or you don't have to necessarily know, but that exists within it. But this is the general eitzah that you could ever use for all of those things together. Okay, so we're in Gimel now. To bring something from potential to actual. It's through completing your speech. Okay, why? What? Doesn't sound like anything ever someone told you before, right? Like, complete your speech, then you bring it to actualization. So what's going on? The letters of your speech have to be complete. This is done through the future world. Through this, you're able to complete the letters of speech. When Mashiach comes, everyone's speech will be in a complete form. Even the stars and constellation worshippers are going to call to Hashem with their speech. As it says, Ki az efoch el ha'amim safa brura likro kulam b'shem Hashem. Then he'll transform to the nations a clear language to call to Hashem. Nimtza shiye ha'dibur le'adibur shlemus. The speech will be in a complete form. Ki achshav ha'dibur chaser ve'eno b'shlemus. Now our speech is missing. It's not in a complete way. Because not everybody calls to Hashem with speech. When Mashiach comes, everyone will call to Hashem with your speech, even the nations. And then when Mashiach comes, our speech will be complete. A complete speech. Because everyone will call to Hashem with their speech. Nimtza sheyesh la dibor shlemos. Therefore, speech has a completion. V'kol ze yeleatid. All that will be when Mashiach comes. Ki ikar gdulatenu v'tifartenu yitgale la'atid lavo. Our main greatness and glory will be when Mashiach comes. She'az yedu v'yiru akol et dulatenu. Because then all the nations will see the greatness of the Jewish people. Right now, it's still revealed in many ways, but in a big way, it's hidden. Even the Jews themselves, most don't really know. So, he az yiru akol et gdulat v'tiferet tzadikim v'aksherim ashrehem ashrei chelkam. Everyone was able to see the greatness of and the beauty of the tzadikim and the kosher people. Praiseworthy are they and their portion. Ma rav tufcha hatzafun lahem. How great is the goodness that is hidden for them? V'lehefech ma pelat rashaim. And the opposite, we're going to see the downfall of the rashaim. As it says, it's going to be a big thing. Va'asotem reshaim ki az ye yoma de dina rabba. Then it's going to be a great judgment day. Shiye ha'adam nidon al kol ma'aseh al kol prat v'prat. A person will be judged in all of his actions and every detail of all his actions. V'lo yivatru lo al shum davar katan. They're not going to cancel out any even small thing. Everything's going to be accounted for. Ki ein shicha lefanav yitbarach. There's no forgetfulness in front of Hashem. V'akol ye nikar lo az, and everything will be known to him then. V'azai keshiyeh mapalat reshaim, when the evil people will be like put down and destroyed. V'yashuvu yiru ben tzadik v'rasha, will be able to see the difference between a tzadik and a rasha. Ki az daika b'yom adedina yiru achiluk ben tzadik l'rasha, because then people are going to see a clear difference between a tzadik and a rasha. V'azai tapchu kulam l'shamit barach alayzeh, and everyone will be transformed to Hashem through this. And v'kul v'yikaru kulam b'shem Hashem. Everyone's going to call the name of Hashem, as we said, az efoch el kol ha'amim kanal. V'azay yeh dibur b'shlemus. Then your dibur will be in a complete form. B'chinat safa brura, in a clear language. Nimtza sh'al yedei mapelat harishayim shele da'atid. So from this we learn that through the destruction of the evil people that will be when Mashiach comes, then your speech will become complete. Okay, so what can we do from this now? Okay, we're using the hints of what's going to be to know what to do now. So we must also draw down the future world in this world. That we can have the destruction of the evil even now. Meaning, don't wait until that happens and you have Shemesh Dibor and then you're able to bring something Koch to a Paul. We can still, we have ability to do this right now. This whole thing, we can do it now. So how do you do it? It's through truth, okay? Why? Okay, we're going to explain it soon. Ikar emetu, kesha'in ha'adam nitzrach lebriot. The main level of truth is when a person doesn't need other people. Now, let's explain what that means. There could be a very big form of sheker of that, which is in the story of the Tam and the Chacham, where the Chacham, the very sophisticated man, he was able to learn all these different wisdoms, and he became so smart, he became a doctor, he became a jeweler. He learned all these things very fast, more than everyone else. And then at one point, after learning everything, he came to the conclusion, I don't need anybody. That's Amalek, okay? That's the Amalek version of Ein Tzarich Lebrios. That's Amalek version.
He says the king doesn't exist.
And then he says the king exists, because he's all about his own existence, because he thinks he's so great.
Was he Ashkenazi?
For sure. It's also there's a form that's bad when it's that because the bottom line is that people naturally need to live among other people. You have to be interacting with more people. And so that's the normal way in Torah to do things. Okay, there has to be a tzibur. Okay, it's a normal thing. Okay, now this thing is talking about you don't need people. And he's explaining for two different things you don't need people for, which is basically. You don't need other people's honor and you don't need other people's money. When you really feel that you don't need those two things, then you come to a true form of emes. And then when you come to a true form of emes, then your dibur could be in shlemos, and then you could bring something from koach to pol. We're going to see now how it all works.
Yeah, the question, when you're saying speech and then returning it to the speech,
yeah.
Well, I'm trying to understand what we're referring to because the world is created with utterances.
Right.
Were these utterances not perfect in their design?
No, we got blemished. The utterances are always happening right now. Those are great, perfect. Right. They're always standing there. But Adam ate from the tree. It blemished the ability to tefillah properly. This whole Torah started when Elisha got the two spirits from Eliyahu, and then he was able to pray with Kavanah. Right? Remember that? It's all connected to this stuff. And through being able to pray with Kavanah, he was able to bring down great miracles and great, amazing things through his tefillah. And that's because he was Zohar to Emes.
So it's about returning to the original state.
Yeah, it's just going to happen again when the Mashiach comes on a new level. But it's coming to the highest state of your being. You want to come to your Geula state, basically. That's what it's going on.
I thought it's going to be something new.
Yeah, but you could access a certain level right now.
There was something that we also had this the opposite of what you're saying.
Yeah.
Is that at a certain point, Hitler, he wanted to destroy the Jews,
yeah.
Torah, and Hashem.
Right.
The idea that there should only be Yishayim.
Right, it's true.
Yeah, there should be only
yeah,
what?
That's true.
Only be Yishayim.
That's the
Shaka.
That's
the
nature of Amalek, right?
That's what Amalek wants to do, yeah.
Yeah, like Hillary Clinton. But yeah, right.
Okay, so therefore, now just another side point. Another side point in this sefer specifically, you see a lot of times like, in order to do a certain thing, he says, increase in emes or increase in this, and it's like usually like one like etza that encompasses the whole thing. So a person might think, okay, sounds a little bit like too simple. Like give me some more mechanisms, okay? So the mashal for understanding like where he's coming from. My understanding of it, okay, is like this. I'll give you an example. Let's say you had a couple and they're always like fighting, okay? They can't get along. So they go to a therapist and the therapist tells them how triggers work, how all the mechanisms of relationship work, where they're feeling like emotionally triggered by one another, and he explains all the mechanisms, the whole thing. And then they go, wow, I had no idea. It's like so amazing. And they come home and then they still fight. It still happens again. Okay, and then they go to another therapist, and the therapist tells them, forget about everything. You have to just respect each other. And they go, oh my gosh, that's the problem. We don't respect each other. And then they come back and they work on respect each other. And then everything else gets fixed. And then the mechanisms start making sense, okay? So this a lot of these tikkunim here is like the second thing. It's like, listen, you don't have any emes. You want to do all these other fancy things. Like, first become a person that has emes. And then you can do all those things. It's like, a lot of those things we forget. Like we even have to fix that. You know, like, let's see. You compare, let's say, Kuntres Hispalus from the Mitarami to Torah Tet and Likud Tumara, and Torah Tet also talks about emes. It's like, if your tefillah is not proper, you have to increase in emes. And then if you look at Kuntres Hispalus, it's like the greatest systems of how to attain high levels of dvekus for Hashem. But if you don't have emes, you're not going to be able to do any of that.
Okay? Is that saying Derek Harris the Kabbalah Torah?
Yeah.
Is that the same thing?
I mean, it's not even there. This is, yeah, in a certain way, it's there, yeah, because you're saying that. Get the basics down first, which sometimes we overlooked them, and then we realize that the base is not strong enough, and you have to. And but the thing is, by increasing the base, everything else gets fixed automatically. That's the thing. If a person increases emes, his tefillah is going to be better automatically. We're increasing emes. It's like hyper speed tikkunim, and that's like, you know, it's very shaft to the door hazeh, because this is what we need. Everyone needs to, like, see what's going on. It's hard to like look at yourself fully honest until you, like, you learn about it. Then you're like, wait, I need to do this, I need to do that, I need to do this. Now, how bad does a person need to do it? So the answer is, if the wound inside of a person or the bad mita is very bad, then it's best to put salt on the wound, even though it's going to hurt. But once you put salt on the wound, it's going to heal. But if the wound isn't that bad, then you could just put, like, cover over the good things and it'll heal by itself. Everyone has to know which wounds, so to speak, they have in order to know how to treat each situation. Okay, so now kikevan shen nitzarach la'adam lebriyot. Since a person feels the need for other people, mishtane panav kikrum. His face turns like a krum. It's like a type of animal. The kama gvani. The Gemara says in many different colors. Kimishahu nitzarach lebriyot kashelam odit palo berabim. If someone feels that he needs other people, he can't pray properly in an environment with other people. You can pray at home, but when it comes to praying other people, you can't do it properly. Why? It's better for him to pray by himself. Why? When he's with other people, he has all these different pniyot. How do you say pniyot? Inclinations. Ulterior motives. Okay? You have all these ulterior motives and all these lies that fall upon you. You're doing, like, different movements in your tefillah for other people to see. Oh, look at him like this. Oh, look at him like that. Like, you're like, you want people to see it. It's like, it's a big form of sheker. But it's another bigger form of sheker we're going to talk about now, okay? Because he feels that he needs them. Let's say someone doesn't need other people for parnasa. Because he has his own parnasa. Yeshu nitzarech lebriot v'shil kavod. He needs other people for honor. Or b'shil davar achar, or another thing. Ta'ainu sheyesh lo taiva shil kavod v'chashivot kayotze. He has a taiva, okay, he has a strong desire for kavod, or other types of things, so therefore he's in the category of nitzarech lebriot. Okay, so therefore he's a new pnias when he's praying, all these different moves and stuff with other people. Now, nimtza shehu nitzarech lebriot. You need their honor and their importance that they're giving you. You need that. You're still in that category. It's a form of sheker. So when a person needs other people at any level, you come to a very big sheker in his tefillah. To do certain moves that's really sheker for other people to see. But then you have another person who's a little bit kosher. V'yare et Hashem b'miktzad. He sees Hashem a little bit. He has some revelations of Hashem. V'mit b'yav... Yeah. Oh, yare. Yeah, sorry, yeah. He fears Hashem a little bit. V'mit b'yesh b'einav la'asot sheker meguna b'tfilato b'shvil acherin. He's embarrassed to do any type of sheker. He's not going to do these moves to make people look at him like this or like that. He's not going to do it. U'mit k'ven l'itpalel b'emet. But he really wants to pray truthfully. Aval ha'met hu arbe ma'od yoter midai. But the actual true levels of emes is actually a much higher level. We're going to end in a minute. V'gam ze eino emet. Even this is not truth. Ki lo nimtza harbe emet. Because this person, he only has a little bit of emes. He doesn't have a lot of emes. Okay? Let's just finish this little part here. Okay? Ki emet hu rak echad. The only truth is that there's only one. There's only Hashem. As it says, okay, in Torah, Nun Aleph. Dehainu mechamat shu bosh be'enei atzmo litpalel b'sheha gamur. A person should be embarrassed in front of himself to pray with such sheker. So what does he do? Since he's so embarrassed to pray with sheker, so now he has to hide the sheker. And now what does he do with it? He lalbish a sheker be'emet, and he enclothes the sheker in emet. And then he tells himself he's emes. But he's actually just hiding a sheker in emes. Okay? Okay, basically, dehainu, lemashal, for example, shechavetz la'asot ezet tnua, he wants to do some type of like move that looks like he's praying like with a lot of kavana. Oh, ham cha'at kaf, or he wants to clap his hand, for example, for another person. Aval hu mitbayash b'zeh, he's embarrassed about this. She'yaseh sheker b'tfilato b'shvil b'nei adam. He's embarrassed that he's going to do sheker for other people to see. Al ken hu ganev data, so he steals his own das. U'mesabev lo ha'yetzer hara, sibabim ha'machshavato, and his yetzer hara makes his head go in circles. Until he comes to the conclusion that in truth, it is actually a good thing for him to do this. He makes up a reason why it's actually emes that he should do it, even though at the beginning he said, I'm going to do it, but I'm too embarrassed to do it because it's going to cause me to look like I'm doing it for other people. And then he starts thinking deep thoughts, and Ashkenazic mind starts racing. And then he comes to the conclusion that, no, it's actually good that I do this. So that's basically taking the sheker and closing it to emes. Because he came with really good sound reasons why it's actually good for him to do it.
We make himself look
like a... Like, oh yeah, that he should actually do this. Maybe he's good. Yeah, maybe, oh, I'm going to think so I make it. You know, all these different types of reasons.
Reasons
or to clap his hands. In his mind it sounds like emes, but in truth they're sheker.
His original intention was to do it for other people?
His initial intention was because he's in the category of these tarach lebrios. He either wants their kavod or he feels that he needs their money.
What about the whole thing that I don't know which Torah it is, but this whole thing where Nachman says if someone's feeling sad they should go dance.
Yeah, and then Torah Yud.
Isn't that faking it?
No, and Torah Yud explains it over there. Because basically, the dancing itself, because that's like your last hope, is like the action. So the action itself could pick you up.
It's not real.
No, that's for yourself. That's for yourself.
Wait, you're not dancing to impress anyone in your dance moves.
Yeah.
You're dancing because you're in a state of absolute, and this is a key for you to reach yourself.
Yeah, it's a tool for you.
If you do it for that reason,
then it's fine. But if you do it for trying to make, because you want the other person to like, oh, look at this guy, he's so cool.
He
obviously that checker, okay? It's a tshuva, okay? We'll pause it here. We'll pause it. Cliffhanger. We'll pause it here, okay?
Can we at least go cliff diving?
Now let's go cliff diving.
No.